clean conscience, peace of mind, hope, a true relationship with God. Physical riches meet the needs of our outer man, clothes that we wear, the house that we live in, the car that we drive. Spiritual riches are eternal. They're lasting. Physical riches are temporal. Spiritual riches are from heaven. Physical riches are from earth. Spiritual riches cannot be taken from us. Physical riches, we can lose them. Thieves, robbers. Spiritual riches includes the promise of heaven. Physical riches fail to provide for our afterlife. So given a choice, what would you rather have? Would you rather be a spiritual billionaire and not so well off financially, or vice versa? The Bible tells us here that God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And incidentally, you cannot have a relationship to Jesus Christ. You cannot have a relationship to God the Father unless you see yourself as a spiritual pauper, one who is in desperately need of forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful word of life. Help us, Lord, to be like you, to represent you, Lord, just as you are so kind and generous to us. And I pray, Father, if someone is listening this morning that has not found Christ as their Savior, that they would begin to seek after him, that they'd get a copy of Scripture and they'd begin to read the Gospel of John and begin to discover who you are. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555. 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. They meet at the Riverview Community Center at 606 West Madison Street in Durand.
It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo WRDN Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Our Father, we thank you again for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for thy blessings through the past week. And Lord, we look to thee now at this time that you bless this service, that you'll give me words to speak. And Lord, that you'll be pleased to take the words home to the hearts of our hearers. Have mercy upon us, Lord. I do ask you for our sick folks, the sick, the afflicted, the bereaved. Lord, we ask you for each one. Have mercy, heal, comfort. Raise up, Lord, we especially ask for their soul, their eternal soul, Lord, that you'll make them concerned and give them grace to seek thy face. Help us, Lord. Bless us. Go with us. Bless the services here to the Lord today. Bless them on the internet, the radio stations, and all the means where they go out. May you bless the words, bless the hearer. Give that hearing ear, Lord, that thy word will be effectual in the hearts of the hearers. Help us, Lord. Bless the coming fellowship time. We ask you for it, Lord, that you prepare each heart and you prepare each one that comes. Give us grace. Help us to pray. Help us to look for thy will, that thy will might be done. And Lord, I do ask you for the offering now as we receive it. May it all be used for thine honor and glory to get the gospel out. Guide us and keep us now. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from our chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. And we're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard here in Walker, Louisiana. Our mailing address, if you'd like to send us a letter, mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And I'd like to hear from you, especially you that are hearing this broadcast live over the many radio stations where we're going out. But if you're hearing, let us know. And you can also hear this broadcast live over the internet. You can go to radiomissions.org and hear it there. Or you can go to sermonaudio.com/VOT. So let us know if you're hearing it. I'm Brother Glenn Bond. I want to welcome everyone here in the chapel, everyone who hears over the radio and the internet. I want to give you a welcome this morning, invite you to stay with us today and each Sunday. And may the Lord give you a hearing ear, give you a blessing from what you hear today. Let's take our Red Song books now and turn to number 432, Jesus Took My Burden, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. me give you the prayer list at this time. We have seemed like a lot of very sick folks on our prayer list. Miss Wylene Lovis and her sister, Miss Peaches, Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gayo, and Brother Kenneth is in really bad shape. Y'all pray for him. And Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, and Brother Bobby's up there for visit Miss Marie this weekend, and I believe they said she's turning 100 years old, I think yesterday. So, but she's not doing well. Y'all remember her. And Bobby and Judy there on the highway. And then Miss Carolyn Antwine, Miss Eloise Antwine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Arvis Shows, Miss Marilyn Lessinger, Miss Lynn King, there in Jackson. She called me, I think, Thursday, said she was back in the hospital. I'm hoping she's back home by now, but she's having problems. And then Brother Eric Ranking Sr., Brother Gary Dodrell, and Miss Mary Jackson. And then let's do remember Brother Glenn Gayo and his family there at the passing of Miss Esperanza. Brother Freddie was there last, I think, Friday for the funeral, but let's remember that family. And then in a nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gayo, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So we have many sick folks to pray for. Let's remember them as you go to prayer, that the Lord will heal and raise up and especially remember their souls. So let's take our red book now and turn to number 502, Some Bright Morning, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh,
to see it by and by. It's going to happen. Those things are going to come about. May you be found in Christ when it comes. So let's take our selected hymns now. Turn to number 142, Accepted in the Beloved, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Accept
I'm glad to be here with you this morning, and I've been thinking about this subject for a few days now. The Lord's given me this subject this morning, and that's repent. And I can't help but think, Brother Shelton, he said many times, the missing note in present-day preaching is repentance. And I want to speak this morning on repentance. And y'all pray for me. The Lord will give me what he wants me to say. Whenever we think about repentance, the world generally says, oh, well, that just means to change your mind, stop doing what you're doing, and turn over a new leaf and these things. But there's a lot more to be said about repentance. The Bible tells us, Jesus Christ himself said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent. Now this was Christ himself, God himself, telling us this. And I believe because he said it, we need to take it to heart. This was said by the one who will judge the world in righteousness, according to Acts 17:31. He says, repent. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. Repent. And I want to go into it. Lay it out before you as God gives me grace. Now, I know whenever I tell you repent, I speak to every one of us. Everyone that's lost, even those who are saved, even to myself, repent. Now, I know that quite quickly a lot of people's going to pop up and say, well, what do I need to repent of? I live a pretty good life. I don't do all the wicked things and this and that and the other. But what do I need to repent of? I believe that most people today, generally speaking, most people live a decent life, not criminals. You know, they keep man's law. They're not openly defiant towards God. They don't shake their fist in God's face and say, I won't have this man to reign over me. And we take that as meaning, well, we're not bad people. We're okay. You don't see people shaking their fist at God. You don't see people saying, I won't have this man to reign over me. You don't see it happening around you, but it's there. The equivalent of it is there. That rebellion in the heart is there. You're just as guilty before God as if you did stand and shake your fist in his face and say, I will not have this man to reign over me. You're guilty, and that's what you need to repent of. Now you listen. That verse still holds true. That verse in Matthew 7:13 that says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And these many, these are the ones who will not repent. The ones who have not repented, they're going down the broad way to destruction. And that's the greater part of humanity going to destruction, mostly unaware and unconcerned. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to wake you up. I want to tell you that you're headed for hell. You're on the broad road, and you'll get there soon enough. You're headed to destruction. Why? Because you won't repent. Let me ask you, are you on that broad road? Do you see it? Do you understand that you're on that road? Do you realize that you're going to hell? Now, many people will say, oh, not me. I repented. I walked the aisle 40 years ago or whatever. I shook the preacher's hand. I said the sinner's prayer. I give my heart to Jesus. I was baptized. I've been going to church. I do all these things. But all those things are not salvation. You need to repent. Did you ever repent? Yeah. You walked the aisle, but did you repent? You shook the preacher's hand, but did you repent? You joined the church, but did you repent? You said the sinner's prayer, gave your heart to Jesus, but did you repent? Christ said, except you repent, you'll perish. Where does that leave you? I want to tell you again, repent. I want to try, as God gives me grace, to show you just a little bit of how God's word shows you to be a sinner. A sinner before God, a wicked sinner. The Bible plainly says all have sinned. It says, Romans 3:12, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And you think about what that means. It says, none that doeth good. If you're not doing good, then you must be doing bad. This could just as well say, all are doing bad. All are doing bad. You're certainly doing something. You can't say, well, I ain't doing anything. You're doing something. And the Bible says it's not good. Therefore, it must be bad. When you look a little further down in that same chapter, that 23rd, world with you when you're saved. But Christ said, forsake all. You're going to have to turn loose of it, everything that you hold dear. There's no other way to be saved. Christ said, come. Look there in John 10:1. This is Jesus speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, you want to get to hell, or you want to get to heaven? You want to get to heaven, you're going to have to come by the door. You're going to have to enter in by the door. If you're trying to be saved some other way, without repentance, the Bible says you're a thief and a robber. You're trying to get up some other way. Christ said, down at 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. By me, I am the door. Come in by me. Do what I say. Obey my word. You'll be saved. You must enter into and obtain salvation by Christ, through Christ, no other way. If you're trying to find some other way to be saved without forsaking all, without repentance, without seeking the Lord, then the Bible says you're a thief and a robber. And I assure you, there will be no thieves and robbers in hell, in heaven. They'll all be in hell. Many people want to try and do some kind of works to obtain salvation. You want to do some kind of works. You say, oh, well, I volunteer at the soup kitchen. I give money to the poor. I stop my drinking and I stop my gambling and I stop doing drugs and cheating and stealing. And you have all these things that you're doing. And they're good things. You should stop doing these bad things. Start doing good things. But none of those things will save you. In the eyes of God, they don't mean anything at all. You're still a sinner, and you still need salvation. But you say, well, yeah, but I'm not a drunk. I'm not drunk in the gutter like old so-and-so there. And well, I'm glad you're not. But that's not salvation. There's no repentance there. There's no faith there. There's no seeking the Lord. There's no calling on the Lord. We want to think that, well, I quit my smoking and my drinking and running around. I quit gambling and cheating and lying. I quit all this stuff. And I've been living a good life for 10 years now, and I'm a decent model citizen, and you can go on over and over and listing all the great things that you're doing in your life and show how bad that you've been. But that's not salvation. And except you repent, you're going to be in hell with all the other people who lived a good life, who cleaned up their life, who did good things in their life. You're going to be in hell with every other good person that never repented. Hell is going to be full of good people who never repented, who never would seek the Lord, who never would call on him. Think about it. Why is that broad way so full? Why are there so many there? You will not repent that you might have life. You won't come to me that you might have life. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people think that you can join a church and you can shake the preacher's hand and say a little prayer and be baptized and you're saved, but that's not salvation. Christ said, except ye repent. Repent. Many people are in hell now who live a good life on this earth. But they're in hell. They lived a good life. They didn't cause problems in this life. They obeyed the laws of the land. They worked hard. They lived decent lives. And you could go on and on about how decent they were. But they're in hell today. Where does that leave you? They're in hell because they never came to see and understand their need of salvation. They have never seen a need for repentance. They never came to see themselves as a sinner in need of salvation. I want to tell you, salvation is knowing yourself that you're a sinner and knowing Christ that he died for you. Look what the Bible tells us. And these are nothing, this is nothing new. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, I want you to think about all of what the Bible is telling us here. He says of sin. And I believe that your unbelief is your greatest sin. He says of righteousness. And that's because you have none. The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. He won't have it. You need righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And then he says of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. He says the prince of this world is judged. If the prince is judged, all of his subjects will also be judged. If he's going to lay hold of the highest and the greatest, he will also lay hold of all those under him. You will be judged. In salvation, you will come to know yourself, that you're blind, that you're deceived by Satan, that you have no righteousness. You'll come to see the awfulness of sin by the grace of, or by the works of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to come and break Satan's deception. And that's what he has to do. He has to come. Break the deception, awaken you, show you what you are. And whenever you see what you are, you'll begin to repent. Repentance is far more than just a change of mind. That's just to put it plain and simple. But he says of righteousness, because you don't have any. You need righteousness if you're going to enter into heaven. We have many things that the Lord has given us about salvation. As a lost sinner, you have nothing that God wants, nothing that he will accept. You're told to repent and believe the gospel, believe that you're a sinner, believe that Christ died for you, believe that you have no righteousness that God will accept. All these things show each one of us that we're a sinner. They lay out the awfulness of sin, and the judgment lays out the penalty of sin, which is death in hell, eternal death, forever and forever. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, well, you know, you've told us repent of our unbelief, and you've said that you stop drinking and stop smoking and all that's not going to make a difference. And you say, well, so what specifically do I need to repent of? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? Is that what you think? Is that a valid question to you? A specific things in your life? And I think that most people would think, well, yeah, that's what we need to hear. We need to know because repentance is so vague and general. And what do I really need to lay hold of and stop doing in my life to repent? How can I repent? What sin am I doing? Tell me, and I'll stop it. But that is just an illustration of the error in your thinking. Maybe this will help you. This one verse here, Romans 14:3. The Bible tells us, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see, you were born a sinner, and all that you have ever done is sin. And it's only by the faith of Jesus Christ, believing in him, that you can slow down your sinning just a little bit. You can't put it away. You can't clean up your life. You can't change what you are. You're a sinner, and you will sin. Almost everything you do is a sin against a holy God. Everything. Everything. I believe one of the few things that you can do that is not a sin against God is to believe unto salvation. Now, if you're still a lost sinner, you haven't believed unto salvation, and I believe that leaves everything in your life as sin before God. Now let me ask you, how does this hold up against your lopping off one sin or another? And you stop your drinking and you're smoking and you're cussing and you're lying and cheating and stealing and all these things. How does that hold up? Whenever you've knocked off everything in the world that you know to be wrong, and you say, well, I've cleaned up my life, and I've stopped all these bad things, where does that leave you? It leaves you as a sinner before God, under judgment, condemned to hell. And we have said it before, I have said it many times, salvation's not of works. Cleaning up your life won't save you. It won't help you. Not to say that you should continue in all these wicked things, but it's not salvation. Cutting out all of your wicked acts, your wicked works, the wicked doings, all of these things will not save you, and it will not stop you from being a sinner. It will not bring you to Christ. You are a sinner. Stop trying to do something that God will accept. Because the only thing that God will accept is faith in Christ. It's faith. Think about it. Christ died for a reason. If you could clean up your life, if you could do something good that the Lord would accept, he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have needed to. He could have said, you're good enough. You figure it out. You start living a good life. You save yourself. But you're a sinner. You can't clean up your life enough to be saved. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. And Christ saw it. He realized it. And he said, well, I'll go and I'll be a sacrifice for their sin. I will die that they might live. Repentance is coming to see and know and understand that you're a sinner. And it's coming to hate that sin. It's when the heart understands what you are and you come to hate it. It is knowing that you're nothing but sin. It is knowing deep down in the heart that you're sin and that you can do nothing about it. It's what you are and you can't change it. And it's coming to abhor it, to despise it. It's coming to an understanding, knowing you're a sinner, and in your heart, turning from sin. You can't stop sinning, but you can want to. You can never stop your sin. But when the Lord gives you repentance, when he grants you that repentance, and repentance is a gift, the Lord has to give it to you. And when he gives it to you, you'll come to despise sin. You'll hate it. You don't want no more of it. It's still there. You'll still do sinful things, but you'll despise it. You'll hate it. You'll regret it. You'll come back to the Lord and beg for forgiveness for it. You'll understand God's perspective on sin, and you'll take sides with Christ against yourself. You'll stand in judgment against yourself. You will judge yourself and condemn yourself and sentence your own self to hell. You will, in your heart, sincerely, you'll do it. When the Lord gives you repentance, you'll condemn your own self to hell. You won't wait for God to do it. When Christ said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," that's what he meant. He didn't mean stop your lying and cheating and cussing. But those are, you might say, the fruits of repentance. When the Lord gives you repentance, you're going to clean up all that stuff. You're going to stop doing it because you don't like it anymore. You don't want it. Those are fruits of repentance. And that's what he means when he says, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." When the Bible says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," he's not saying, well, stop your lying and your cheating and your drinking and dope smoking and all these things and live a good life. That's not what he means. You should be doing that regardless. You shouldn't need to wait until you can repent of that. You should be doing that. Ask the Lord to give you grace. Ask the Lord to give you faith and repentance. Ask him to make you see what sin really is. Ask him to give you an understanding of it. And when he does, you'll begin to despise it. There'll still be sin in your life because you're a sinner, but you will forever hate the sin. A repentant sinner hates it. I hate it in my life. Before the Lord saves you, there's no repentance. There's no hating of sin. We love sin before salvation. We love it. We love to run to sin. But after the Lord saves you, you no longer have that same attraction to you. You no longer run to it. You run from it. You try to stay away from it because now you have a hatred for it. Despise it. You've become a new creature in Christ. A new creature. Those old things of running to sin and being attracted to sin, those old things have passed away. And the Lord will give you new thoughts and new desires. All things will become new. My friends, repentance is a gift of God. He has to give it to you. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not saying a sinner's prayer and I'll give my heart to Jesus and start living a good life. God has to give you repentance. He has to give you faith. He has to give you a desire to be saved. And he has to give you a determination to seek the Lord. What does the Bible say? He says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." You can do nothing. It's of Christ. Seek the Lord. Call on him. Jonah said it in the simplest terms. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Now you take that in the simplest terms as you want to make it, as simple as it can be. And it means if you want to be saved, seek the Lord. Call on the Lord. Beg the Lord. Come to Christ. That's what we tell you over and over and over. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to seek the Lord. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to come and come to Christ and receive from him his gifts of repentance and faith. You're going to have to turn, leave everything that you hold dear, and you're going to have to earnestly seek the Lord. I want you to know that true salvation, there is a substance to it. There is a substance. It's not just saying a few words, saying I'm going to live a new life and making a promise and sticking to it. That's not salvation. Salvation is wrought in the heart by God the Holy Spirit. I can't do it for you. Pope can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. God the Holy Spirit must do that work. And if he doesn't do that work, you'll never be saved. Never. You'll be just one more face traveling down that broad way to hell. Our churches today teach that salvation is basically just do some simple works. Clean up your life a little bit. Say a prayer. Make a promise to do better. Join a church. What else is there to do? But it's all works. It doesn't save you. And our churches, I believe the majority of them are just lining the road, that broad road to hell. That's all it is. Are you saved? How does your salvation align with God's word? How does it align? Making a profession of faith, that's not salvation. Saying a sinner's prayer won't save you. Salvation is knowing yourself, knowing that you're a sinner according to God's word, that you're a sinner, knowing that only by the Holy Spirit enlightening your mind will you ever come to see what you are, will you ever come to see the awfulness of sin, will you ever receive power to repent. It is by the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Lord saves any poor lost sinner, that lost sinner will know what the Lord's done for him. He'll know. You'll know. The Lord will show you what you are. He'll show you the condemnation you're under. He'll show you the sinfulness that's within you. He'll deliver you from it. And when he delivers you from it, it's a real deliverance. It's a real sin. It's a real wicked nature that you have. And to be delivered from it is a real deliverance. The salvation that I have is not a light thing. It's a real thing. And I praise the Lord for it. I thank him for saving an old sinner like me. Praise him for it. Y'all plead with the Lord. If you want to be saved, come to him. Beg him. He'll save. Our Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for thy word. I thank you that Christ died to save sinners. I thank you, Lord, that one day you called me, put a desire in my heart, called me to come to Christ, gave me repentance, gave me faith. And Lord, I plead with you to have mercy on our people here. those that hear this message over the internet, over the radio, Lord, would you make it real to their heart? Have mercy on us, Lord. Bless us and keep us. Bring us back here tonight if it be thy will. And I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you are being blessed by this morning's Worship Hour broadcast, it's very important that you let the ministry know that you want the broadcasts to continue to air here on WRDN. Email the pastor at radiomissions.org, radiomissions.org, or call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658, and let the ministry know that you are still listening. That's pastor at radiomissions.org. Again, pastor at radiomissions.org, or call 225-664-8658. Your email or phone call is a vote to keep this broadcast airing here on WRDN Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. On our Easter Sunday, increasing clouds as rain develops in the late afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s, an east to southeast wind of 5 to 15. Tonight, rain will continue, some of it locally heavy, lows in the upper 30s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 34.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written.